much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Lube it or lose it.
Yeah! Woohoo! All right! Woo! Yeah!
Ha! F me, F me, F me.
Oh, yes. I can't tell you how much yes.
F me, F me, F me.
If you and Steven had babies, they'd be so good looking. They would.
Because Steven's all tan.
You need to stop it, and you need to stop it right now.
Lisa.
Yum, 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 yum.
Stop it! Stop it! This objectification of women has to stop.
You're just a woman with a small brain. With a brain a third the size of us. It's science.
Where do they start with a sponge bath? At your feet or your head?
No, they go with the d***. I don't like that head.
And now,
aloha! And welcome to
our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Monday morning.
Hey, that was a burning question I had about the sponge bath. I'm so glad to have had that answered.
They start right with the good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was our friend Charles, I believe his name is Charles, in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And he sure did like to get his massages and his sponge baths.
And his medicine. He liked his medicine,
oh,
too.
Did he love his medicine. We just played some highlights of a guy who we were taking government conspiracy theorists. Mm-hmm. And how come they all sound like this? Why do they always – you could tell within 3 seconds, this is not a guy I'm going to take information from.
Right.
But unfortunately, you know, he called. Javier?
Yes, it's Xavier.
Xavier, okay. Sorry.
I apologize. Sorry. What's going on, dude?
I don't want to cause any panic.
Okay, so
and
right there.
Any panic.
I don't want to cause any panic. Right there, really the opposite is happening. Like everybody just tuned out and went, yeah, this isn't going to be good.
If he's an actor, that is a great role that he's chosen.
I don't want to cause any panic. Like if they gave him $100,000, he couldn't cause panic.
But the government is instructing NASA not to alert the people on the planet about a planet that has a wide orbit that in a few months will cross our orbit.
Okay, so, and then it's going to destroy the Earth. So, here's my question to you. Does a guy who sounds like this know what the government is telling NASA? Like, is it possible he works in the government?
No, this guy is sitting at home with
on the internet.
Foil on his head.
With foil on his head, right. And there's no possible way he works for NASA.
No.
So, unless something got leaked that we all would have seen, there's no possible way he has information that we're not aware of between the government and NASA. But I just love him so much because he's so heartfelt. He's so honestly really wants to get the word out, but don't panic, people.
But here's my question. What's he doing? Like, shouldn't he be out wahooing it, living out his final days?
Do you wahoo it?
I don't know. I've never lived out my final days.
But then he goes on.
And destroy a whole weather system. And if
okay, so there's another planet that's going to come close enough to Earth that it will destroy our atmosphere?
That's right. And
okay.
It's a planet that has a wide orbit and comes across the path of the Earth every 3,600 years.
And when is this going to happen?
This will happen in approximately a few months.
All right. So we got a few months.
Approximately a few months.
Approximately a few. There's a planet that's large enough where their atmosphere is going to destroy ours, and no one else sees it but this guy?
Look, if it happens, egg on my face. I'm the first to admit it.
Right. Me too.
You know.
My bad.
Right. My bad.
But this guy we should check back in with after a couple months.
Approximately
a couple of months. And just find out exactly how he feels now.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's never the scientist-sounding guys that call in with these particular theories.
So you're a Mayan believer, basically. You think they were on to something with the whole December 2012.
Oh, no, that's not all.
Besides the Mayan, there was also the Sumerians.
Right, the Sumerians.
That had a calendar that coincided with the Mayans.
Uh-huh. Will you do us a favor and call us back on January 1st?
Sure, I'll be happy if we're around.
All right. I'll be happy if we're around.
He won't call.
Because he's not going to be around.
That's right.
Because he knows that the world is going to end.
We're all going to be dead.
Hey, look, I don't know what Xavier's got going on, but I will tell you that if the government, any government, found out that the Earth was going to basically end, if we were going to, everything's going to be upheaval and there's going to be some sort of cosmic event with a collision or something like that, I'm not sure they would tell us.
Because what's the point?
There's stages that's going to happen also.
Okay, now he's going to get into more detail about the stages of how it's going to happen.
Well, now he's changing the story. Am I dying in a couple months or what?
Well, no. What's happening is the government is going to take us all out slowly. And then he went on to say with the money. Remember he said they were going to poison the money?
Oh, that's right.
And then we would all go away.
Well, that's a completely different story.
It is. Oh, no, Isn't it ties in that the government wants to not cause mass panic. So they're not going to tell everybody what's going on. But they are going to poison everyone. And that way everyone will go down without panicking.
Okay.
So
I see. I'm so glad you speak Xavier. I got lost.
That is my people right there. That is my people.
Wow.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? We have Kristen Bell on the program today.
It's been ages since we've talked to her.
It really has. Ever since Dave ruined our relationship with her, the King of Mexico.
Stupid salt and pepper shakers.
Ordered salt and pepper shakers, one that looks like him and one that looks like her. She's been hiding from us. And I don't blame her, by the way. We have Lisa May Pet Judge today.
Yeah. Pet Judge Lisa.
Pet Judge Lisa. Sorry. Oh, got the name wrong.
That's the name of the show.
We have Who Moved the Furthest for the Short Amount of Time.
For love.
For love, yeah. If you move for love, you moved across the country or whatever. It's always funny to us that you take that extreme of
commitment.
That is commitment. Yeah. And then how long does it last? Sometimes not very long at all. And then let's be honest, although it sucks for that person, it's funny to everybody else.
Yeah. If it's funny to you now, or it all turned out well because you got a great job, then we'd like to talk to you.
Correct, yes.
If you're still crying, maybe not.
We also have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Mm-hmm.
We have LaQuisha, Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And our tattoos of your beehole the next thing? Is that the next big thing?
How will we ever know?
Well, we're going to find out. But isn't that the craziest story ever that is? And there's a girl who had it done. We have an interview with her. And she's thrilled. She says, couldn't feel better. And I think she's setting us up because, in my opinion, I don't know what could be worse. But
it looked painful watching her get it.
Getting your beehole tattooed seems ill-advised.
Yes.
That's what I'll go with. We'll take a quick break and we will come back with Ralph and the Showbiz Beat Neck. Ralph Garman is here sounding like he's got the Black Death today.
Yeah. What the hell?
I got a brutal head cold.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was sick all weekend. But
that sucks.
I'm here regardless to bring you the showbiz news. And before I do, I'd like to give you the opportunity to get some tickets for a K-Rock advance screening of a movie. It looks very cool. It's called The Possession. If you're like me and you're into freaky horror movies, especially about spirits that inhabit.
Love it.
Little kids.
Love it. Little kids are the scariest.
They're the scariest things in horror movies, always little kids. A young girl buys an antique box at a yard sale. First of all, big bad idea right there, because they're always possessed with unwanted spirits. A malicious ancient spirit lives inside the box. The girl's father teams up with his ex-wife to find a way to end the curse that falls upon their child when the child gets possessed. My voice is good for this today.
Yes, it is.
It is a great cast, by the way. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, one of my favorite actors. You can see him over there in Magic City on Stars. Kira Sedgwick. Great cast. If you'd like to see it before anybody else, I've got three pairs of passes right now. 1-800-520-1067. For Tuesday, August the 28th. Movies in theaters Friday, August the 31st. If you miss out, so don't feel too bad. But if you'd like to see The Possession, call now. 1-800-520-1067. While we're talking about movies, sad, shocking news yesterday about movie director Tony Scott, who directed Top Gun, of course, and produced many other successful feature films, as well as directed, jumped to his death from an L.A. bridge yesterday afternoon.
Well, you don't see that very often.
No, you don't. It was the Vincent Thomas Bridge in San Pedro. He was he drove there in his Prius. Several witnesses saw him get out. He was parked on the bridge about 12:30 p.m., just after noon. Scaled a 10-foot fence and jumped off the bridge without any hesitation, witnesses say.
Wow. Jeez, what was going on?
Well, we don't know, but we know that there was a suicide note found later in his office. It wasn't one in the car at the time, but it was a suicide. The contents of that note have not been revealed, so we're not really sure what his state of mind is.
It said, sorry about Top Gun.
Too soon? Think?
Okay. All right.
He was 68 years old. Besides making Top Gun, he also made Beverly Hills Cop 2, Man on Fire, Enemy of State, The Hunger, Days of Thunder, Crimson Tide. Long list. His brother, Ridley Scott, of course, also a successful director and producer. They work together quite often. So, sad news.
Boy, you never know what's going on in somebody's real life.
No, you don't.
You see it from afar and you go, oh, that guy's a movie director and producer. And this
got it going on.
All the money in the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No problems, right? Jessica Biel and Justin Timberlake. People are speculating the two of those slipped off the paparazzi radar long enough to get married this weekend.
All right.
Finally. Yeah.
Sources are saying that wedding guests headed into Jackson Hole, Wyoming over the weekend. And the couple was ready to tie the knot in an upscale private estate yesterday. Now, no official word whether this happened or not, but all indicators seem to think that family and friends of Jessica and Justin got together and had their big event yesterday, which is going to make Joel McHale so sad. I don't know if you've been following the soup at all, but they've been trying to plan Justin and Jessica's wedding for them without having their involvement whatsoever and make a big, long production about it. And apparently it's going to be cut short now because they actually got married.
Those two seem like a good couple to me.
Yes, very much so.
You look at me and go, yeah, he's good for her. She's good for him.
Yeah.
Mary Louise Parker talking to In Touch Weekly this week about her starring, of course, on Weeds, successful Showtime show that enters its last season this year. She said she has never smoked pot in her entire life.
That's so funny.
Despite a lot of offers from diehard fans. She said the show comes to an end on September the 16th. That's the final episode that you get to watch of Weeds. And she admits she may take a toke, she said, for the series finale. While she's watching, she may have her first taste of marijuana while she's watching the finale of the show.
Oh, but not while she's filming it, just watching afterwards.
Yes, yeah.
That's so bizarre.
And Spider-Man, once again, wanted by the police.
Now what?
Well, you know, they don't like Spider-Man. He's out there cleaning up the streets, makes him look bad.
It's just a...
They're coming after him in his secret identity of Andrew Garfield, however. He was zipping through the streets in Malibu, California yesterday, and TMZ.com reports they caught up with him and gave him a speeding ticket. Sitting there next to him in the passenger seat of his famous multi-million dollar car that he was driving.
Right.
Emma Stone. His girlfriend is there next to him.
Nice.
That's a good life. I don't mind taking the ticket if I'm driving a sports car and I've got Emma Stone in the passenger seat. You okay over there?
I don't know.
I don't think
broke
you
the
are.
Bell.
There we go.
Your bell's in trouble.
My bad.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin fame is 64 years old today. Today's show weatherman Al Roker is 58. Joan Allen celebrates her 56th birthday. James Marsters. He's from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, very talented actor, 50 years old today. Limp Bizkit's Fred Durst is 42 years old today. Someone sent me a long, impassioned email saying, please explain to people that Limp Bizkit hasn't really broken up. It's Fred Durst's birthday. It's the least you could do. They may not tour the U.S. anymore, but they'll still get together. And no one just gives an F.
Just
so
no one
it.
Cares
stop
about
it.
That.
Monique Powell, our buddy from Save Ferris, is 37 years old today, and singer-actress Demi Lovato celebrates her 20th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We have Pet Judge Lisa coming up later today.
Okay.
We have Kristen Bell on the phone, and we have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com as well. First, though, let's talk about this weekend box office. The Expendables 2, I saw, and I would not say masterpiece. I wouldn't go with timeless.
Is there a one or two thumb...
There's a half
on?
A thumb up.
Half a thumb?
There's a lot,
from
of
you?
A lot of explosions and a lot of shooting and a lot of fighting.
So you like that?
Yes.
Okay.
So that distracted me from the fact that it wasn't a very good movie.
Okay.
But other than that, I mean, you got your Sylvester Stallone and your Jason Statham and your Jet Li and your
cast.
Dolph Lundgren and your Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
And Chuck Norris, who says that he's a loner now and he works on his own, but he kept showing up every time they had a job.
He was actually lonely.
Jean-Claude Van Damme, Bruce Willis, Schwarzenegger, Randy Couture. I mean, what an amazing
Jeez.
Cast. And we thought we would check in this morning with Arnold Schwarzenegger, who, of course, this is his baby.
Yeah.
And find out what's going on. Hey, Arnold.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Did I say, hey, Arnold? I meant, hey, Sylvester.
You sure did, but I figured I'd just ignore that.
Thank you.
Know, and keep going.
I appreciate it.
You're mentally irregular.
Well, it's a big cast, and I was just mentioning all of it.
But you know, it says there on your paper, Sylvester Stallone.
It
so
does.
I assume you knew, you would know who's on the phone with you.
And
you know?
I put an arrow right next to it to say, hey.
And yeah, you said, hey, Arnold.
Well, that happens. That I apologize for that. Now
you're a little punchy, I think. I think you took a lot of shots to the head, you know. You was fighting Apollo Creed.
That wasn't me. That was you.
Oh, that's right. It was me. Yeah. Yeah, look, I know who I am.
You do, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. You're a lot sharper than I am, unfortunately.
Well, that's because I take a lot of performance-enhancing drugs.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
How did you think the movie did this weekend? Were you happy with it? Were
of course, you yeah. Number one. You can't get much better number one, you know.
Right, right.
$28.8 million, you know, it's pretty good.
Is there going to be a Expendables 3?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to, you know, get everybody back together again. And then, you know, you want me to fight the fight? I'll fight the big fight.
No.
I'll fight the fight. I'll do it.
No, I wasn't saying anything about fighting the fight.
Yeah, I think you were.
What are you shooting at?
You.
I am nowhere near you.
I know. I'm just shooting in the general direction of you.
Hey, all right.
Hoping that one stray bullet might hit you somehow, you know? Because I think you were hoping that I wouldn't be number one this week.
Well,
you're probably voting for Sparkle or something.
No, I was not voting for Sparkle. I mean, I went to your movie, and it was great.
That doesn't sound like an overwhelming positive review. Like your lady friend said, one, two thumbs? I don't know what the hell is going on over there with you people.
Now,
you know how many thumbs you have? You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger on the phone. What's wrong with you?
Hey, Sylvester. You all right?
Boom time.
It is boom time. That's true. That's his big slogan in this movie.
Boom time.
Boom time?
Yeah,
boom time.
Boom time.
What was it like working with all these guys again? Statham and Jet Li and Lundgren and this time Chuck Norris.
I love working with these guys, you know, because when you're on the set with guys like this, anytime you need, like, some growth hormone or
right.
steroids, you just got to ask. Everybody pulls out a syringe. It's great. You never have to carry your own. It's like borrowing a cigarette from a guy, like a Japanese businessman outside LAX, you know?
Sure.
You never got to worry. Say, hey, you got any HGH? Yeah, sure. Here you go, Sly. And next thing you know, they hook you up.
You are looking pretty ripped, except for you can tell you're getting to be about, what, 60?
Yeah, I'm in my 60s now, yeah. You got a problem with that?
No. I'm saying, neck down, you look pretty good.
Yeah, that's right, I do.
All right.
You know why?
Why?
Boom time.
It's boom time.
Boom time.
All right. It doesn't have, not right now, it doesn't have to be boom time.
Boom time!
Is it boom?
Thank you for time. Boom time! Boom time!
Sylvester.
Take a big shot.
I don't think I'm a big shot, no.
Drago.
Nope, not even in this. Not even in this, no. No. Well, thank you for your time, Arnold. I appreciate it.
It's not Arnold.
Oh, right, it's Sylvester. That's we have Kristen Bell on the program. Very excited about that.
Oh, yeah.
First, though, we have to inform you of something that you may not want to hear, but you need to. You need to hear it.
What?
So we're going to be the ones to tell you. The next big thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the kind of person that has to be in on the next big thing, you must be ahead of the curve.
You love the trends.
Correct.
Yeah.
And you don't want to jump on the bandwagon later. I'm here to tell you right now. I'm going to give you a heads up. The next best thing is getting a tattoo on your b-hole. That's the next big thing. So what do you think of that? Now do you want to stay ahead of everybody?
I think I'm good. I'm just going to stay where I am.
There is a girl named Mary Louise Del Rosario. And she is from Florida. Hard to imagine.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
And there's going to be a video up at KevinAndMean.com soon of her getting the tattoo there. And they asked her several questions, one of which is, well, first of all, they talked to her about the reaction that she gets.
Can I give you another awesome reaction? I just heard reaction.
All right. Now, let me just tell you this. She's showing people the tattoo. Now,
where is she that she's showing people?
She's at some kind of tattoo convention. Yeah, she's, she's the hero of the tattoo convention. But here's my thing. Let's say you're completely naked, which 100% naked.
Yeah.
Still, you need a whole list of like levers and pulleys, and you have to get in the right position to show people. It's not like if you're naked, people can see it. You're 100% naked, and yet you still need to get in a bunch of different positions to try and let people see it. So they asked her when her, she's 22 years old, by the way. They asked her when she got her first tattoo.
Okay. So good. And there's nothing, like, when was your first, did you get your first tattoo?
My first tattoo, I was 17 years old, and I had a friend of mine pretend she was my mom so I can get the fairy on my back.
Uh-huh.
The fairy on my back is crawled in a ball with broken wings, and she's pulling her f***ing hair. I'm 22. Deuces.
She's a tough broad, isn't she?
She's having,
at 22.
She's having it done while being interviewed.
Really?
Yes. Oh. The guy is right down there, and he's working his way in with the needle.
What is she having tattooed there, exactly?
Interesting that you would ask that, Lisa. What could she possibly put on the O-ring?
I had two guys' names on it.
I love her. What a flower.
Don't you sort of, when you get the tattoo of an ex's name or a current person, don't you really, you just go with the one. You go with the one that you're with.
Two guys
there. She had
there.
Two guys with their names tattooed on her beehole.
See, I would have a guy throwing a basketball into a hoop.
Maybe.
That would make sense. I would put there.
That would make sense. I suggested over the weekend on Twitter that they do the lyrics of Supermassive Black Hole.
That would make sense to me as well.
But two guys, like, which gets top billing? What's the...
I know. And what happens when they're gone?
She has to keep going. I mean, let's face it. Once you start with not just one, but two guys, you're keeping a log now.
So now it's just a, yeah. It's
so
just a list.
I had two guys' names on it.
She's so excited. I had two guys' names on it. And then she's, they want to know how it feels. Now, I don't have any tattoos, but I met, you know,
it
hundreds.
It can be a little painful,
hundreds
right?
of people that have tattoos, yeah. And they say, Muggs, you've had a bunch.
Yeah.
How much did the one on your foot hurt, the beer mug?
The worst.
Why?
Because there's it's all nerves.
There's not really any
there's not
padding.
Really fat there's or just, padding or muscle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of nerves around.
Yes.
There.
Yeah.
Yes.
No muscle. And it's not even like regular skin.
No,
it's
yeah.
Can't even imagine.
So it's, they have to like really stretch it tight, right, to have a smooth surface.
I believe so.
Oh my God!
And how much would that hurt? I mean, you're
well,
talking
she's
about
talking while we're
you're talking about people
doing
getting tattoos
it.
On their necks, or people get tattoos on their hands, their arms, whatever. And some hurt more than others. Others aren't so bad. I imagine you get one on your butt; it's not terrible. But
on your butt.
On your butt, right. But if you're going
in,
then you're going to have a lot of pain. Well, this is her thing, and she seems to be very convincing that not only is it a good thing, but man, does it feel good.
Maybe she's got a special beehole. Unlike
could.
Other people.
She could have a special beehole.
Dude, it feels so f***ing good.
Good.
So good.
All right, take it easy. You're telling us a little too much. Oh my God, it feels good.
Wow.
Special beehole, by the way. I saw that on YouTube, and they were fantastic.
Dude, it feels so f***ing good.
Good.
So good.
All right, we don't have time here, but we're going to need to talk to people who have had this done. How many people do you think there are out there? I don't think many.
You know, we always joke about a call-in where nobody calls in, and it's never happened, but I truly think this could be the time.
Now, I know that people do get them on, say, the inside of their lip, you know, different places where
seen that, yeah.
where you can't really see it.
Yeah.
You know, the other entrance happens sometimes, but I really have doubts that anybody could possibly have ever... Other than this woman, had that idea.
Wouldn't most tattoo artists say no?
I would guess so.
Also,
I would
they
guess
don't really
they would.
Want to do that.
No, who wants to handle the beehole? Nobody. Nobody.
Dude, it feels so f***ing good.
Good.
So good.
So email us if you know someone or whatever. We'll try and line them up. Or if you've had it done, or you're a tattoo artist and you've done
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Let us know, right. and we'll try and set somebody up, because to me, this just seems like it's the worst thing possible. But if you're the type of person that needs to be ahead of things,
this is it.
The beehole's where to go. And that's the message from today. Right, for the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO is phone number, 24 hours a day. Any topic is fine. You call, you leave a message. Maybe it's something we've forgotten. Maybe it's something that you particularly loved a lot on our show. You know, it's the greatest thing you've ever heard.
You guys have fleas.
Yeah, we do.
Followed up by,
are you guys really doing a bit on talking to a flea right now? I hate you so much.
We had to. We have fleas.
When they say they hate you, that's code.
Yeah.
It's Kevin and Bean code. This guy is really, really, I think, a little warm.
Oh my God, I'm sweating!
Has been pretty warm lately.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly when this question was posed, but the answer was probably yes.
Well, so you're drunk.
It's very possible, right?
Usually.
Yeah. The people love us.
I don't like you, Kevin and Dean. I only like Ralph Garman and Lisa.
You know, I don't think I like the Afro line anymore. It's really turned into just people who hate us.
I wasn't going to like it until that call. Now I like it again.
Leave us messages.
Yesterday was my second time on the Afro line. Oh, yeah.
Omar's going to be so happy to hear that.
Yeah.
He, for some reason, decided that that is what he is going to start. The oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he's thrown it into everything. Sometimes we miss a few things that are obvious, and that's why we need our listeners to point it out to us.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May. I was listening to the podcast, and I don't know if you guys caught it, but Lisa said she got it all over her face, and it was gross. Come on, people. That's a voice clip.
Sorry, we weren't paying attention.
We miss that stuff all the time.
I apologize. We just get so used to it with all of our commercials. We think people are setting her up because they write stuff that's absurd. We have been following Honey Boo Boo Child, which is a very scary reality show.
I just came across Honey Boo Boo Child on the internet.
She's worth it.
She crazy, her parents crazier. It's a little scary, I gotta be honest.
You guys missed a bell opportunity when the beautiful Allison Felix was on your show.
Now, she, of course, is a sprinter for the U.S.
Yeah,
and won a gold medal in the 200 and won a gold medal in the 4x100 and 4x400 relays.
Sitting in front of you, and she was talking about baton handling, and you didn't ring the bell. What the hell is wrong with you?
He's right.
I got to tell you, we were told ahead of time, and it seemed to be true that she's quite religious. And maybe that's why we weren't.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Remember, like,
I forgot.
She was really religious, so I think maybe we felt a little bad.
We had to reel it in.
Digging the baton. But you're right, we did the wrong thing.
We are never, ever, ever getting back together.
Remember the new Taylor Swift song?
Mm-hmm.
The Bean's so obsessed with
it. You're right, Bean. It's the perfect window into the life of a teenage girl.
You did say that.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right, take it easy. Okay. All right, hand check, please.
Bean, you're never, ever, ever gonna be with Taylor. Bean, you're never, ever, ever gonna be with Taylor.
Yeah, unfortunately, that song exists. And
it's gonna be a huge hit.
It is. It's already a big hit, by the way. It sold like a million copies or something like that already. And Bean's like, oh, see, I told you. See, I told you. It's a good song because people are buying it. People are buying it.
I remember when we broke up the first time, saying this is it, I've had enough. Cause like we hadn't seen each other in a month when you said you needed space. What? Then you come around again and say, baby, I miss you and I swear I'm gonna change. Trust me, remember how that lasted for a day? I say, I hate you, we break up, you call me, I love you.
Alright, we need a moment by moment review of her life and that relationship. What the hell's going on with her? So that's the new Taylor Swift song, and it comes out.
Catchy.
Comes out. Stop it! The worst songs are. The Friday song was the worst song ever, and you couldn't get it out of your head forever. And the follow-up to this, by the way, is you're a poo-poo head, so I can't wait to hear that one. Coming up just after the top of the hour, we're going to talk about people who moved for a guy or a girl. He moved, and then things didn't work out.
Ouch.
Because that kind of cracks us up. Let's face it. You move all the way across the country, and then it falls apart, and now what? Now you're in another city, and now what do you do?
So good times right there. Right now it's time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to showbiz news, I do have some tickets to give away to a special advanced screening of a movie called The Possession. Stars Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Kira Sedgwick. It's about a young girl who buys an antique at a yard sale, unaware that a malicious ancient spirit lives inside that collectible and eventually possesses that young girl. The father,
it's a true story,
mother of this girl must find a way to end the curse. Possession opens up in theaters everywhere on Friday, August the 31st. You'll see it before anybody else if you're one of our next two callers at 1-800-520-1067. We're going to have a screening on Tuesday, August the 28th. In Burbank, you can check it out at the Burbank AMC there. If you'd like to go, call now, 1-800-520-1067. Speaking of movies, the weekend box office, Expendables, number one with $28.8 million. That's down from the opening of the original Expendables 2 years ago, which opened up with almost $35 million. So not a good sign for this film. Bourne Legacy fell to number two with $17 million over the weekend. Then number three was Paranorman, a story about a boy who fights zombies that rise from the grave, stop-motion animated comedy, made $14 million. More news from the world of movies, this time some sad, sad news. The legendary movie director and producer Tony Scott has passed away. He jumped to his death yesterday in San Pedro. He jumped from the Vincent Thomas Bridge in San Pedro on Sunday afternoon around 12:30. Witnesses say they saw him park his Prius on the bridge, scale an 8 to 10 foot fence, and then jump off.
Wow.
Witnesses say without any hesitation. They looked inside the car, and they couldn't find a suicide note, but they did find one later in his office. Its contents were not revealed, so there's no insight into the motivation of what caused Tony Scott to take his life. But he had been a respected director and producer for many years. Did movies like Enemy of the State, Unstoppable, about that runaway freight train, Beverly Hills Cop 2, probably best known for his work with Top Gun. That was probably his biggest hit, but he and his brother Ridley have a long history of a lot of successful films. So at the age of 68, took his own life. No word on why, but I guess we'll know more as the story develops.
So there was a note?
There was a note at his office, yeah, that he left, so maybe we'll learn something. Thomas Hayden Church is a good guy. He's another celebrity hero. Kevin loves the celebrity heroes.
Only if they're real celebrity heroes.
TMZ.com reports that he was having lunch at a place in Los Angeles this weekend when another man at the table began choking. Thomas Hayden Church leapt into action, performed the Heimlich maneuver on the guy, and saved his life.
That's a real hero.
That's a real hero.
Yeah. Sure.
And every good deed.
Yeah.
You know, he got his meal comped for doing
it. Oh, look at that.
The restaurant comped his meal, which I think is nice.
Guy probably wasn't even choking. He just jumped up and ran over there and grabbed him and did the Heimlich.
Just to get a free meal.
They had it all set up.
Tough times over at the Jay Leno Tonight Show.
What's going on?
They have cut the budget back. So much so that Leno had to take a pay cut in order to spare the jobs of some of his staff. People were being laid off as a budget restructuring plan. Apparently, Comcast is coming and slashed the budget of the Tonight Show back to pre-Conan O'Brien levels when Conan O'Brien took it over.
Wow.
So in order to keep some of his staff around, Leno had to take a big pay cut in order to save the salaries for some of his coworkers, which is kind of a cool thing to do in this economy, to keep people employed. Yeah. But, his new salary is around $20 million a year. How's he going to survive, Jay Leno?
Good point.
What was it before?
About 30.
Oh, wow.
Between 25 and 30, they speculate. So he took a big hit in order to keep his people working. $20 million a year for that show.
Yeah. Really.
I don't know if you guys saw it, but there was a big number of crowds at the midnight store release of The Hunger Games on DVD Saturday. Lines.
Really?
Around the block at Walmart locations across the country. Cast members made special appearances at select locations in Phoenix, Miami, Dallas, Atlanta, and Los Angeles, greeting fans, signing DVDs and Blu-rays. So it's a huge hit. When you buy the DVD, you also get a 122-minute documentary on the making of the movie, as well as the extras that you usually get with something like that.
You ever watch that stuff?
I always watch this
stuff. Do you really?
I usually sometimes I watch the extras before I watch the movies.
I can't find the time to
spare
another 2 hours of the making of
it. I love the extras. Huh. That's the best part of the DVD.
I do too, but I never have time to get to them.
Good news. Maya Bialik is back at work after she had her car accident on Friday. She tweeted a message that she's in pain but will keep all of her fingers. So all those rumors about her losing a finger are not necessarily so. Her husband actually tweeted the message because she can't do any texting because her hand's been wrapped up in bandage. So
She
her text would look like mine if she tried.
Yes, right. Kevin's drunk text. Restaurant could be meat at Frankenfurt. Exclamation point. And the people who decide these things are meeting with Mark David Chapman this week. It's the parole hearing for the guy who killed John Lennon back in December of 1990. Parole board will take a listen. It's the seventh parole hearing, by the way, over the last 32 years. They meet with him once again this week. The decision will probably come down on Friday. We'll know what's up. But no one is speculating that the parole board will let out the killer of one of music's favorite all-time singers and songwriters. So we'll have to wait and see. But
I don't think he'd be safe if they let him out,
yeah,
to be
really.
Honest.
I don't either.
For his own good, they should probably keep him.
Do you think that he just walks in and they go, nope?
Yeah, you know what? We'll save you some time, Mark.
Turn around and walk back out.
MDC, good seeing you. Why don't you go back to your cell? It's all good. Today's celebrity birthday is Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin, is 64 years old today. Today's show weatherman, Al Roker, Kevin's favorite, is 58.
Not a big fan.
You hate Al Roker.
I'm not a big
fan.
For
no reason.
I can't tell you
Never
why.
Never did anything to you.
Can't tell you why.
The only thing he ever did was tell you what the weather was going to be. That's his biggest crime. Actress Joan Allen is 56 years old today. James Marsters from Buffy the Vampire Slayer turns 50. Fred Durst of Limp Bizkit is 50.
Can I say his name before you play it?
What? Can I get the whole name out before that happens?
Sure, you want to try it again?
Fred Durst of Limp Bizkit is 42 years old today.
Yeah, see? How that works?
Monique Powell of Say Ferris is 37.
Don't have anything about it.
Oh, okay. Demi Lovato? She's 20. All right. Singer-actress Demi Lovato. And Ben Barnes, who played Prince Caspian, of course, is 31 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin DeBean Show at 8 minutes after 7 o'clock. 1 hour from now, we're going to talk to Kristen Bell about Hit and Run, and we also have Harvey Levitt from TMZ.com on the line. We have LaQuisha taking a look at last night's Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Right now, though, we have Jenny McCarthy and Brian Urlacher. I don't know if you've seen this story. Jenny McCarthy, of course, former Playboy Playmate model.
Right.
Brian Urlacher, of course, a linebacker for the Chicago Bears. And they've been a couple for quite some time, since April. They've been a couple.
Okay.
They got set up by mutual friends. It worked out. It was like a blind date, but they both liked each other. So since April, they've been seeing each other on and off. And she said, hey, you know what? I'm from Chicago. I'm going to move back there so that I can see you more.
Well, that's nice.
And then they broke up.
Oh, and that's not nice.
And that's not nice. But that seems to happen a lot. I think the new relationship syndrome, where no one can do wrong, your partner can do no wrong, is a little different when you're living sort of either with them or near them than it is from a different city.
Right.
It's easy to get along when you're in a different city.
Right. And just seeing each other on weekends.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
I miss you. I miss you.
It's much more romantic.
I miss you too. I miss you too. One of us should move. Okay. You know what I'll do? I'll give up my job and everything that I have, and I'm going to come to your city. And then you get to the city and they go, you know what? Not so much with you.
I think sometimes people are probably like they really like someone and so they don't want to discourage it. But at the same time, there's a lot of pressure. Like, what do you do at that point?
Meaning the person whose city is being
invaded. Yeah.
Like Brian Urlacher. Listen, he plays for the Bears. He could have anyone and probably does on a daily basis.
That might have been the problem.
Could be, yeah. And she didn't know that until she maybe moved to that city.
Right.
But you know that the girls do that because girls be crazy. And guys do that because guys are crazy as well.
Yeah.
Basically, maybe you go to the same college as your boyfriend or girlfriend because that's the most important thing in your life. And you don't realize that, you know, a month from now you're going to be broken up. And if you knew that, you would never move there. But we're going to take your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you have ever moved for somebody and then it didn't work out.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of how many times we've had phone calls on different topics and we all, how did you end up there? And it is always, I move for a guy.
A guy or girl?
I move for a girl.
Do girls move more or guys move more? Probably girls.
I think girls.
Because they're a little more romantic.
Yeah.
So if you move someplace and then that didn't work out, don't be all emotional about it. We can't handle emotions on this show. We're barely able to equip, you know, just with what we have. So don't put us under pressure. But if you can look back on it now and you can say, wow, that was stupid. That was a dumb mistake. Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. You move to another city or your girlfriend or boyfriend moved to your city.
To be with you.
And then how long did that last?
How often do people stay together way longer than they should just because someone moved? I mean, how horrible do you feel 6 months in and you're like, but they moved
but
here for
moved
me.
Here. I can't break up with her
yet. I have
yet.
To make this work.
I have to wait for Thanksgiving when the whole family's around.
That's usually what happens.
That probably happens a lot because people feel bad. You feel bad if somebody moves to another city for you and then you don't want them.
I was reading a magazine article. This woman lives in Anchorage.
Oh, no.
That's
no,
where
no.
she moved for
no,
a guy.
No.
And she's still and there she's stuck 20 there? Years later.
Oh, that's sad.
Oh, unbelievable.
So 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls when we get in about 15 minutes. Pet Judge Lisa.
Yes.
We'll preside over a new case. We have listeners that are arguing over what to do with their pets. And there's only one person to settle that, and that's Pet Judge Lisa. So that's coming up as well as Kristen Bell. Right now we're talking about people who moved for a girl or a boy. You had to live in that city. And then it didn't work out quite so well. That's what happened with Jenny McCarthy and Brian Urlacher, who, of course, is a linebacker for the Chicago Bears. And Jenny McCarthy, she's from Chicago, so she had a house there. So she said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to move back so I can be closer to you. And he said, you know what I'm going to do? Break up. That's what's going to happen. So that's not ideal. So we're taking your calls now, 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Sebastian. Hi, Sebastian.
Hello, Kevin Bean. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Sebastian.
You moved where?
I moved to L.A.
From?
Nova Scotia, Canada.
From Nova Scotia
wow.
to Los Angeles.
That is a long way.
For a chick?
Oh, yeah.
And how long did you stay together?
7 good months.
All right. Well, it's a long way to move, but 7 months isn't terrible.
Well, I don't know. If you broke up at the end of 7 months, that means the last three suck.
Is that true? Did the last three suck?
The last two suck.
Yeah.
Oh, Sebastian. Mm. So you stayed?
Well, yeah, because I ended up getting her friend pregnant.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Did the relationship break up because you got her friend pregnant?
No, I got her friend pregnant because she broke up with me.
I see.
So okay. That worked out for you well, I guess.
Yeah, it did. I have a beautiful son now.
Well, good for you, Sebastian.
Are you with her friend now?
No.
Nope.
No. Okay. You've got it all figured out.
Good choices all the way.
Thank you, Sebastian, for the call. That's odd. All right, let's go to Mark. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Kevin Bean. Hello, Lisa.
Hi there, Mark.
You moved where from where?
I didn't move. I moved my girlfriend from Georgia to L.A.
Okay, so you lived in Los Angeles. She was in Georgia. You said you really need to come out here.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you moved. You paid for it?
I paid for everything.
Okay, so she moves out here. And
then it lasted about 8 months.
What happened, Mark?
No, let me ask you Lisa's question before you get to what
happened. We had a dog.
Wow.
Oh, do you need me to help you with that issue?
No. We have that in the next. We have that in the next break. We don't need Pet Judge yet. Yeah, call back in like 5 minutes. So what happened? Did you get a friend pregnant?
No, I didn't get her friend pregnant. Yeah. But you know, when you live together with somebody, you find out about all those little quirks and stuff, and it didn't work out.
Didn't work out.
Yeah,
well, that's the way it goes.
Did she go back?
No. No, she actually got a really great job, and now she lives in Long Beach, and I'm jealous.
You made her life better, Mark.
I did.
Well, that has a happy ending.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Chase. Hi, Chase.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
I moved from Florida to L.A.
Florida to L.A. for a girl.
Yeah. The girl I was seeing at the time wanted to get into porn.
And you said yes.
Yes, baby.
There was some stuff that happened in Florida that, you know, it's not like it was a big shock. But anyway, so she gets this idea. Things weren't going too good in Florida, so we actually both moved here to L.A.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Where she had friends and family here, like she knew people here. I didn't know anybody in the state of California.
Yeah.
Right.
We get an apartment together. About 6 months later, she bails on me and goes and lives with another porn star. And I live in North Hollywood, don't know anybody.
Oh, Chase, that's sad.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the relationship was destined to fail. But, you know, yeah, it really sucked because we broke up, like, right around, like, Thanksgiving.
Right.
So I'm not the biggest holiday person, but, man, it sucks being in L.A. alone.
You imagine being Thanksgiving with Chase?
I feel bad for him.
All right. Kristen, you hold on for sure because we need to get to you, but I want to go to Amanda next. Hi, Amanda.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. You moved from where to where?
I moved from San Jose to Utah with my husband.
Husband? So you're married before you moved?
We were married before we moved. He begged and pleaded to move in with his family. We moved in with his family. His mom hates me and broke up our marriage.
Why did you move in with his family? So you guys could save money or something?
We have a son, and so, yeah, we wanted to save money, and his mom was, like, yelling at us, come on, come save money, we'll watch your kid. Oh, we get there, nope, not going to watch your kid.
Oh. Wow.
And he would pick fights all the time with me, and he would side with his mom, so I left and said, if you want me, come get me. He didn't come get me.
Wow.
Oh, Amanda.
That sucks. I like that you're laughing about it, though.
Hey, you know what? I'm so much happier without him.
Oh, there you go. All right. Thank you, Amanda, for the call. Who knew it would work out that way? All right, let's talk to Vince, who's got a fascinating story. Hi, Vince.
Hey, what's up?
You moved
from
Hi, good.
You moved from where to where?
West Virginia, out here to Orange County.
East Coast, West Coast. All right, and then how long did your relationship last?
Well, technically, it didn't even last a day.
What happened?
What do you mean technically?
Well, when I got out here, I went to go. I went to go look for her, and her phone number was disconnected. I couldn't get a hold of her. I didn't really know any friends and family or anything. So basically, I went over to where her apartment was, and I saw some people taking some stuff out of her apartment, like, what's going on? And it turns out it was her parents, and they said, oh, she's in jail for heroin charges.
Oh, my God. Was she in jail before you came out? And you didn't know it?
Basically, they popped her, like, a week before I left. Come to find out.
Oh my God.
And there was no courtesy call? Hey, by the way, I'm in prison?
I don't guess she thought it was, you know, opportune time to call me out and be like, yeah, you know, that move, don't do it because I won't be here for about 7 years.
Wow.
Vince, that's rough.
Are you still together?
No, basically, her parents were like, oh, you're the guy. Yeah, we're going to go visit her in a couple weeks. You want to go? And I said, no.
Nope.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call, Vince, and let's go to Kristen. Hi, Kristen.
Hi.
I think you moved the farthest of anybody that we've talked to.
I think so. Right. I think I, yes.
How old were you?
I was 21.
All right. And the dude lived?
In Scotland.
Scotland.
Oh, man.
In Scotland. How did you meet him? How did you become friends with him?
Well, as you do, co-counselors at a children's camp.
Okay.
Yeah,
right. So you're hanging out with him for a couple of months at least to get to know him.
Yeah, a couple of months.
All right.
And then we both, I went back to Los Angeles, he went back to Scotland, kept in touch for 4 months, decided, oh gosh, you know, what would be the next logical step? And that would be for me to move to Scotland.
Did you have a job here before you moved?
I was a waitress.
A waitress, okay.
Yeah, so I wasn't leaving much behind.
Sure.
But, okay.
So you moved to Scotland.
And it sounds like fun, right?
Absolutely. Why not? And so I get there, and literally my bags had yet to even touch the floor when he said he had met somebody else.
Whoa. At the airport?
No, he actually took me home to his place and said, oh, by the way, I didn't want to hurt your feelings, but I've met somebody else.
So he picked you up at the airport, put your luggage in his car, drove you to his house, and then broke up with you.
Absolutely.
Kristen, what did you do?
You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think what went through my mind was like, holy, well, I can't curse
on my
dog.
Of course.
So I met some friends at a bar. He took me out with his buddies, and I ended up meeting some girlfriends, and I was able to stay there for 2 months. And then, you know, there is a silver lining. 5 years later, I ended up marrying somebody from Scotland.
No kidding. Only this time you had them move here.
He moved here. And
you learned your lesson.
It all goes full circle.
Well, that's so
crazy.
Funny that you put down your bags and he's like, hey, I have something to tell you.
Oh. Yeah. And what the best part was, he's like, I didn't want to hurt your feelings while you were packing.
While you were packing? Really? He knew. So he knew beforehand. That's crazy.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone knew before in Scotland. I think I was the only one who didn't know.
Wow. Nice work.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Hey, at least you married somebody. What the hell?
I did. I did. And he's great.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Absolutely. Bye.
Is it time? Are
yes,
we ready?
It's time.
Lisa May.
Hit it.
Pet Judge.
Pet Judge Lisa.
Sorry.
You can't get it right.
Jeez.
I want to start.
What
it.
You're about to witness is real. The participants are not actors.
They are the actual people who are way too wrapped up in their pets and should probably kill themselves. These parties have agreed to dismiss their cases and have their disputes settled here in our forum with Pet Judge Lisa.
Very exciting.
The litigants are now entering the courtroom. We have Cameron and Jessica. Cameron thinks his dog Ender is so adorable he should be in a commercial. However, his girlfriend Jennifer just doesn't agree. Will this be the ender of their relationship? Which is what Judge Lisa said earlier. Yeah, I know. We were all stunned. I just thought everyone should hear it because it was so awful.
So awesome.
And by awesome, you mean awful.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Hi,
Jennifer.
Cameron.
And Cameron, we're here to have you please state your case. Cameron, if you would please state your case for why you believe ender should be in commercials. And then, Jennifer, you could have your time for your rebuttal, naturally.
Okay.
Well, Ender is probably the most beautiful dog I've ever seen. Yeah. And Jennifer thinks that because he's our dog. But everywhere we go, people stop us. Traffic stops to try to
talk
to him.
All right, good-looking dog. We got it.
Traffic stops. Yeah. Okay.
I have certainly stopped to see a good-looking dog.
See? So I think we should do at least one commercial because I think that'd be really cool. And Jennifer disagrees.
You want to put your dog in a commercial?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Jennifer, what's your position?
So my position is that if we don't get callbacks, if we try and put him in a commercial and we don't get callbacks, number one, Cameron would be super bummed and now think that Ender failed us. But number two, if he does get a callback, he says he just wants to do this one time.
Mm-hmm.
But he would then, I'm sure, want to turn our dog into the commercial king, a show dog, and I think that's a lot of time and effort.
So you don't trust that just, hey, I just want to do it one time?
No.
Next thing, he's Uggy from the artist.
Right, exactly.
He's showing up on red carpets.
He's going to want to keep doing it.
Yeah.
What kind of time does Cameron have exactly to do this? Because I don't imagine that it's something that happens overnight. I think it takes a lot of time and effort.
Yeah, I agree.
Cameron, what kind of time do you have?
What kind of time do you have in your hands?
Well, I work a full-time job, so I wouldn't want to make this like a career. I'm sure I could take some time off and do it once, but I wouldn't want to do it all the time.
You can be a stage mother to your dog.
So what you're saying is that Jennifer is full of baloney.
Easy with the language there.
Take it easy,
Pet Judge Lisa.
I just had to say baloney once.
But wait, so what you're saying is that you could take time off work to, like, as if you could just go, in 2 weeks, I'm going to be able to get my dog in a commercial?
If I could do it, I don't know even how to start. So I'd probably email some people and see if I have to go to, like, a casting call or something, but I could probably take time off work if I needed to go do that.
Well, at least you've gathered all the information before the court case. That's good.
Cameron, let me ask you, does your dog have any special skills? Is he well-trained? Can you make him do things on command, that sort of thing?
Yeah, he needs to be very well-trained.
Yeah, I would say he's better trained than most dogs, but not the best trained dog ever. Yeah. He can, like, wave, and he knows left and right, and he knows a lot of stuff. But
and he'll pay attention to you with a set, with people and lights and everything?
I have never been in that kind of position, but we do agility training, and there's lots of people around there.
Jennifer, is he that well-trained?
Yeah, he's a very well-trained dog. I mean, we did do agility classes and stuff like that, so I think he would be fine with all the distractions. I still think that, you know, it would take more time, and we'd get too amped up and excited about it and want to keep doing it, and you know, that it would just take too much time and money, probably.
Cameron, it would take some money.
Let me ask you this question,
Cameron.
But if
the dog starts working, then you're going to make more money than you're spending.
Let me ask you this question, Cameron. Is it possible that you have a really cute dog that's just going to be your dog?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, it doesn't have to go into
that. Doesn't have to be showbiz.
Right.
No, not at all. I figure if I was ever going to
showbiz could be a cold bitch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That sounds about right.
Lisa, any questions?
I don't have any more questions.
They want to know, A, is the dog cute enough? You've seen the photo.
Mm-hmm.
And B, should they do it?
I think Jennifer has plenty of confidence in the dog and none in her boyfriend. That's what I'm getting sense for.
Yeah. This is my courtroom, so I'm going to answer it the way that I want.
All right.
All right. So, first of all, I think that,
that was a gavel.
Having a
it sounded like a pistol.
I need a new gavel. That having in and of itself, having a dog in a commercial is not a bad thing. Dogs like to have jobs, and if it doesn't stress the job the dog out, then they get to go and they see people and they do fun things, and it's not a bad thing. But I do think it takes a lot of energy and time to do it. Ender, by the way, is a beautiful dog.
Right.
Like, he would be great in commercials.
All right.
But Jennifer doesn't trust Cameron to stick to his word. So I think the real problem is not the dog. It's between Jennifer and Cameron. And all this fighting around Ender, I think, means I need to take the dog. Because that's too much stress for Ender.
What?
Yeah, I think I have to take the dog from you guys. I don't think that you are equipped to have this dog. I think I... Well, this is my courtroom and I'm ruling, so I get Ender and you guys go to therapy.
No!
Lisa has ruled.
I have ruled.
Wow.
Send the dog over.
So the litigants lose their pet.
Well, look, I have to do what's right for the dog.
And both of them lose their case here in the most effed up courtroom in the world, Pet Judge Lisa's.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:54. Ralph is here now with a look at the showbiz beat, and then Kristen Bell just after the top of the hour.
Yes, top story in show business today is the horrible news that broke yesterday afternoon about movie director Tony Scott. He directed Top Gun. He was producer of many films as well. And Enemy of the State, Beverly Hills Cop 2, Man on Fire, The Hunger, a movie of his I really liked a lot, Crimson Tide, who did several movies with Denzel Washington. He jumped to his death from the Vincent Thomas Bridge in San Pedro on Sunday. He was just 68 years old. His body was pulled out of the water by the Los Angeles Port Police, who were the first to arrive on the scene. But witnesses say they saw him get out of his Prius that he parked on the bridge, scale the fence, and then jump off the bridge without any hesitation. No word on what the motivation behind the suicide was. The suicide note was found in his office later that day, but its contents have not been revealed, so we may never know why he chose to take his own life, but sad news.
I got a couple tweets, Ralph, and this is, of course, as unconfirmed as tweets can be, that he had some type of cancer that he was dying from.
That's often the case, they say, with people, especially around this age group, if they find out they have some terminal illness or something, they will take their own lives. But for someone to do it off a bridge,
that's
not typical for someone who's dying of an illness. Usually they'll take their lives in their home or someplace else.
That is
close
odd.
To friends or loved ones, even their own office sometimes. But to do it on a bridge, that's usually a very public, that's usually an FU to somebody. Mm. Psychologists say, you know, if you're doing it in a public way, you're trying to punish someone in your life or something, or get back at someone. Look, this is all speculation, but who knows? We shall see. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? The Expendables 2, as expected, was number one at the box office with $28.7 million. The Bourne Legacy came in at number two. Then Paranorman, in its debut weekend, a little over $14 million. The Campaign, the Will Ferrell comedy, was fourth. And then Sparkle, remake of the 70s R&B movie with Jordan Sparks this time around. And the last film, of course, of Whitney Houston, was only fifth at the box office with $12 million. A lot of people were speculating maybe Houston would fans would come out to see her final performance, but didn't seem to add much to the box office.
Well, it was Sparkle.
It was Sparkle.
So that maybe not have helped.
Dark Knight Rises was sixth. The Odd Life of Timothy Green came in at number seven. Then Hope Springs, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Dog Days, and Total Recall. Bringing up the rear, that's your top ten at the box office this weekend. You think things are rough here? It's even worse in Russia.
Yeah.
Madonna is being sued by Russians.
Madonna is?
Yes. She recently performed in St. Petersburg. Not the one in Florida, by the way. This is the Russian one we're talking about. And anti-gay activists in Russia were offended that she supports gay rights. And she said as much during her concert in St. Petersburg. There's a law in St. Petersburg that makes it illegal to promote homosexuality to minors. I always wonder how you promote homosexuality, by the way. Hey, kids, grab a penis. It's fun. What exactly?
Put smiley faces.
I've never
on
seen
it.
Any campaigns really promoting homosexuality to minors, but it is against the law in St. Petersburg. And they claim there were underage children at Madonna's show on August the 6th. So they are suing her to the tune of $10 million.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
Now, admittedly, during the show, Madonna did stomp on the Russian Orthodox cross and ask fans to show the pink armbands she gave out during the concert in supporting gay and lesbian rights.
Right.
So she was poking the hornet's nest.
Sure, as she always does.
And I guess we'll have to wait and see whether she loses the $10 million now.
Hmm.
I would just write them a big pink check for $10 million and just have it suspended by a helicopter over their headquarters.
And in the memo section, it would say, for gayness.
That's right. If you cash this, you're gay. Thomas Hayden Church, he's a good dude. He was having lunch at a restaurant here in Los Angeles last weekend when a man at another table began choking. Thomas Hayden Church sprung into action, remembered how to give the Heimlich maneuver, and saved the man's life. Folks who owned the restaurant comped Thomas Hayden Church's meal for his behavior. I would have been like, really? That's it? I just saved a life and you give me a free burger?
I saw the guy choking.
How about a little something else? How about a little something-something for the effort, huh? Have a little cash. And the final Weeds episode airs on September the 16th on Starz.
That's sad. That's a good show.
It is a good show. It is coming to an end. And Mary Louise Parker was talking about the show in In Touch Weekly and has admitted that she's never smoked marijuana in her whole life.
You would think after so many seasons, she would just get curious.
Not to mention, she gets tons of offers from diehard fans of the show who come up to her all the time and say, oh, I'd love to get high with you because you're on my favorite weed show and it would be great if we got high together.
Liar!
And she has to break the news to them that she doesn't smoke.
That is odd.
But she said, since the show ends on September the 16th, during the finale, she admits that she's thinking about maybe taking her first toke as sort of a celebration for a job well done. So, hope they have a lot of chips at the party, wherever she's going to be. Maybe some cookies. Today's celebrity birthdays. Demi Lovato is 20 years old today. Monique Powell of Say Ferris turns 37. Joan Allen, the very talented actress, is 56. James Marsters from Buffy the Vampire Slayer fame is 50. Today's show weatherman Al Roker is 58 years old. Robert Plant, singer of the legendary band Led Zeppelin, turns 64 years old. And Fred Durst of Limp Bizkit celebrates his 42nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. We welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show after a little while off.
Yep.
Kristen Bell, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. We have to start by asking you a question, because you used to be on the show a lot, and then all of a sudden you were not on the show for a while.
We have a theory.
And the question is, did our producer Dave scare you off? He has a big crush on you, and he made salt and pepper shakers.
Yeah, you were being really sweet to him and understanding, but
From the salt and pepper shaker on, we haven't heard from you.
No, there's no, I have no explanation. I feel like, there's literally no explanation as to why I have not. I mean, I've been working a lot, but maybe we've tried to book it, I think, a couple times.
Are you positive it wasn't the King of Mexico?
Because we understand, totally.
I would make that same decision.
No, I'm positive because I love Dave, and he didn't scare me at all. He couldn't scare me if he tried.
That's true. That's very true.
Not my fault.
All right, Chris, let's talk about this new movie, which opens this Wednesday.
Yes, the 22nd.
A little odd. It's called Hit and Run. Mm-hmm. You and Dax, explain the theory of the movie to us.
Well, the plot line is it's a guy in witness protection who is in love with this girl. I'm sorry, I'm being literally attacked by my dog right now. There goes. I'm so excited this morning.
You're being attacked by your dogs?
By my dog. Oh, okay. I mean, out of love, but I had to push him off.
Okay, good.
It's about a guy in witness protection who is in love with a girl in a small town. She gets a job opportunity, and he decides to leave witness protection for her. And it's a very, it's very Gift of the Magi in that sense, but it's very, very funny, and it's a car chase comedy, so there's a lot of stunts that we did all by ourselves, and, Dax wrote and directed this movie as well, so we basically made it ourselves and just invited all our friends to be a part of it.
Now, I heard that everybody that's in it is your friend. Bradley Cooper is one of them, Tom Arnold is one of them, but that you didn't know Beau Bridges. How did you get him on board?
We just got him, luckily, through our agency. He was like the only sort of regular hire where we were like, we need someone to play the dad. And they said, what about Beau Bridges? And we said, Beau Bridges would never do our movie. And they said, he might.
He said, that would be great, but who could we really get?
Right, exactly. Realistic here.
Now, Dax told you at some point, I read in another interview, that he wanted to do a car chase movie.
Yes.
Right? But is that all he said? Because at that point I would go, hey, Ben Dunn.
Yeah,
no, 100 million times.
That's all he said. But well, has it been done well?
No, of course not.
Not in a long, long time.
Of course not.
Well, you know, gearheads are, you know, like fashionistas. They're a little bit snobby about certain things.
Yeah.
And he has, you know, a car collection, and he's really snobby about a whole bunch of different things. And he doesn't really think in the last, you know, 20 years there's been a real good car chase movie, primarily because a lot of gearheads don't like all the CGI.
Right.
Like everything in our movie, he was really committed to it. It's actually the car doing it. Because I feel like there's almost like a subconscious disconnect from the audience when, like, the car flies over the Grand Canyon. You're like, great, now I'm watching a cartoon.
Right, yeah. You don't buy it.
And the quick cuts where you never really see what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. Like, where you can't really tell what's going on. You it's a lot of computer-generated stuff. So he had directed this small movie, this small comedy called Brothers Justice with pretty much the same cast.
Right.
And in the press, they said, what's next for you? And he said, I'm going to do a car chase movie. And he had no concept then. He was just talking out his ass.
He was just spouting off?
And yeah, he was just mouthing off. And then someone said to him, a producer said to him, hey, you know, I can probably find a budget if you really do have a car chase movie. And he said, yeah, I can meet in a couple days and we'll talk about it. And over those couple days, he thought of this plot line.
Now, it sounds like it came together really quickly. Like, you said he went downstairs and wrote it in, like, 3 weeks or something?
Yeah, he wrote it in 3 weeks. He writes so fast because he's so specific, and he only did one draft. There's a whole bunch of things about this movie that are really, really weird.
That make most of the time, those are signs that a movie's not going to be good.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But somehow we've risen above all of those things, and it's still watchable, believe it or not. But yeah, he wrote it in 3 weeks. We used only one draft, and we shot it in 6 weeks with all of our friends. His mom did craft service on it.
What?
I mean, she catered for the crew. It was hilarious.
But it's not being distributed as a movie like that normally would, right? In a couple of theaters?
No, it's on, I think, like 2,800 screens or something. It'll be definitely a wide release. Well, the funny thing about this is that, you know, we've sort of manipulated the budget in such a way that all the money is on screen.
Right.
So we might have been eating, you know, peanuts and coffee throughout the entire shoot.
Sweet.
But all the money is actually on camera for the audience.
And he edited it in your house?
He did. He edited it in our little tiny office for like 9 months.
Oh my god,
that just seems like it would get so not repetitive, but I mean, you're working on your own project about yourselves, you know.
He definitely went insane a few times.
He did.
Like, for sure. Oh yeah, he's seen this movie probably 170 times.
Yeah.
There were moments where I definitely thought I lost him. I thought, well, this is the end. We shouldn't have done it.
As good as I'm sure it is, it can't be good enough to watch 170 times.
Well, I don't think he thinks so.
Okay.
I think I would think so. But.
All right. Well, that looks fun. Hit and Run opens Wednesday. And again, this is Kristen Bell on the phone, and Dax Shepard wrote and directed this. And it's also got Bradley Cooper and Tom Arnold and
good cast.
Beau Bridges. Let's talk about a couple of other things. One is House of Lies. Is that coming back?
Oh, it sure is.
Oh, I can't wait for that. I love that show so much.
It sure is. We start shooting again, I think, around October, and then it'll air in January again.
And if you don't mind my saying, you're incredibly sexy in that movie. But
oh, why, thank you.
But let me tell you what we don't need. We do not need more of Don Cheadle's ass.
A lot of Don Cheadle ass.
Would you mind passing that along that we've seen?
I can't pass that on because we have a difference of opinion and we can agree to disagree.
We've seen the ass, though.
I think those cakes deserve some screen time.
You do. You think that's it, huh?
If you've got beautiful buns like those, I say show them off.
Well, he does.
He's dead, but done. Mission accomplished.
That's true.
That's true. When is that show coming back?
It comes back, I don't know, we'll premiere sometime in January. It'll be the same time it was last year.
Oh, I love that show so much. And one final word. I'm glad, when you were on Leno with Ryan Lochte, who I find to be a douchebag, I was so glad you kept interrupting.
Well, you know.
Did you interrupt because he's a douchebag?
No, not that he's a douchebag at all. You know, all that stuff is pre-planned. I mean, not all that stuff, but a lot of the interactions are pre-planned or sort of semi-organic, and it's obviously an entertainment show, but a lot of people were very up in arms. They did not want me interrupting his story.
I couldn't have been more happy.
Well, I mean, I agree, and we were certainly having fun. And Ryan, I mean, obviously nobody was, no one needed defending in this situation, but I think certain people did not like that I touched the medals, which, I mean, clearly we had worked out beforehand.
Yeah, you put on his medals, right?
You shouldn't have put them on. And I was like, they're not war medals. I mean, we're allowed to play with them.
You don't have to earn it, for God's right. sakes, as long as you can look at it. Well, I liked it, and I wish you would have interrupted more. That's all I'm going to say on that topic. Kristen Bell, thank you very much for coming on the show. House of Lies in January, and Hit and Run is this Wednesday, October 22nd.
Thanks,
you, Kristen.
Guys.
Thank you. Bye now. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up about 20 minutes, and we have LaQuisha talking about last night's Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Excellent.
First, I want to introduce you to a video that I can't watch. I broke my ankle playing basketball a while back, and that kind of pain is so intense that I immediately started sweating, and I felt like I had to throw up, and I went to the hospital, and they had to reset it. And so now every time I watch it, something like that, I get the same physical reaction.
Oh, really?
But there's a girl who was hiking, I believe in Wyoming or someplace like that, and she breaks her ankle. And when I say breaks her ankle, go to kevinandbean.com. If you could stand it,
I'm afraid.
You have to watch it just for a little bit because she doesn't just break her ankle. It's not just swollen like a normal ankle. It's bent.
Oh, God.
Sort of like back toward her knee.
Oh, how did they even
sideways.
Get that on video?
No, she got it on video. She jumped a ravine and it broke. And I think she's just trying to talk herself through it so that she doesn't go into some kind of shock.
Yeah.
But she does a little play-by-play as she shows you her ankle.
Oh, dear God.
And then she kind of, spans around and looks around the area. And then she puts it on her face. She's quite pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And she's trying desperately just to kind of keep her mind off of it. And at first it doesn't hurt, but then it starts hurting. And it's just, it's horrific. But you must watch because her explanation is fantastic.
So this is me.
And by the way, that's a shot of just her ankle.
Okay.
This is me. My ankle is bending like it's not supposed to.
I just broke my ankle. This is the second time now. Like, come on, Lexi. You would think you would be better at this by now.
So I like that she starts off by criticizing her own ability to walk.
This walking thing. Okay, so this is me moving my foot, and it's really gross. I would show you more, but if I look at it, I might vomit on myself.
Yeah, that's the way I felt as well. It's gross.
Oh, geez.
But just to hear her go through all of this on video, and she's by herself. She doesn't know if she's going to get rescued or anything.
The good thing is, I can feel it, so can't be mad at that. Yeah, the bone isn't really attached. I can put it, but I am scared. But in, like, the calmest, coolest sense. Eric might be calling for me. Let's flash the light a little.
Now she's trying to get anyone's attention. She's just flashing like a flashlight off into the distance. Hey, maybe somebody out there will see it.
Oh, yeah. I'm up here, bitches. Yeah!
Would you ever be that calm?
I don't think so.
And I do think it's probably the adrenaline rush that is...
It's dulling the pain right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Okay, so the pain has started. At first, I didn't feel it.
Right.
It was kind of funny. I didn't think it was real. And yeah, I probably just shouldn't jump those trenches. It's something I'm not good at. Oh, man. Things.
Now, that's my favorite part. Oh, man. Things. Really, you're out at that point.
Oh, man. Things. I have a really nice view of a tree. I'm not going to tell you how scared I am of bears right now. Yeah, oh, shout out to my fam. You know what I was thinking?
She's just rambling
that's
now.
So weird.
Shout out to my fam. It's like somebody's going to find this videotape like 127
next
hours.
Next to her dead body.
Wait, how close is the nearest anything? Wyoming.
Yeah.
You suck. You got some cool rocks and search and rescue. I hope to hear from you soon. And this isn't like a will, but I love my dog. I love trees. I love nature. I made a lot of good decisions. one of them probably wasn't jumping over that trench.
She's really funny.
There's a lot more. She talks shout outs to all of her friends and different stuff and just basically stream of conscious, just probably to keep herself not panicked.
Yeah.
Which
yeah,
is pretty
because
smart.
Once you're done with that, you got to figure out what the hell you're going to do.
But if you look, even if you're like me and you can't take it, I couldn't take looking at that video. You have to see it just for a second.
Yeah, definitely.
Because ankles don't go that way. It's really scary. So what? Go to kevinandbean.com and you can check that out. And we will take a break and come back with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Now, coming up a half hour from now, we have LaQuisha taking a look at last night's Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
She's so great to do that for us.
I'm so happy she does that because occasionally I'll catch it. And she's so right when she says, there's nothing happening on that show. Mm-mm. Just you watch it for 5 minutes and you go, what happened in the last 5 minutes? Nothing.
This is a show?
Yes, and it's an hour.
It's an hour?
I think.
I didn't know that.
LaQuisha was complaining about that before.
Oh,
so,
my God.
That's coming up as well as checking in with Sylvester Stallone. Right now we're waiting for TMZ.com so that we can talk to them about many of their stories, including director Tony Scott, who unfortunately jumped off the L.A. Bridge.
That is just bizarre.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's say good morning to Harvey. Hey, Harvey.
Good morning, guys.
How are you?
Hi, Harvey.
I'm good. Hey, it's me.
TMZ.com. How was your weekend?
It was good. It was good.
Tell us about this sad story about director Tony Scott.
Well, it's really crazy. You know, he committed suicide yesterday, left a suicide note. It's very clear that this was prearranged, that this was not a spontaneous thing. He left a note in his office, drove over to San Pedro, and then jumped off the St. Vincent Bridge there.
Do you know what the note says?
Well, we do not yet know what the note says, but what's odd about it is, I mean, he climbed a fence and then just immediately jumped. He did it, you know, again, he did it at 12:30. It was a very hot day. There were a lot of boats out. There were all sorts of, but there was a passenger boat that was literally right there as he jumped, and they captured it. And I mean, everybody watched him jump.
Oh, wow.
And heard the thud. I mean, we actually, you know, we have a picture just to show the relationship that we put on the site of his body there next to all these boats. And it was not like this kind of desolate scene. I mean, he did it right in the middle of the day, you know, knowing that there were all these boats around. It's a mystery. Just the whole thing is a mystery.
Well, what makes it odd, too, is that, you know, a lot of people say that if you have a terminal disease, for example, people are suggesting that maybe he had cancer. But you don't jump off a bridge. You're not like, that seems like that's an unusually public display where there's more of a message intended.
Well,
no?
Look, I mean, I don't want to read into it. I got to say, I kind of have the reaction you did just because, again, doing it at 12:30 in the afternoon, knowing that, I mean, and that's one of the things, you know, there were so many people there that maybe that's why he literally scaled a fence and then immediately jumped. You know, it was not like, you know, letting somebody, you know, come up and talk you out of it or grab you or whatnot. But, you know, there were just a lot of people around.
But he thought about it enough ahead of time that he wrote a note.
That he wrote a note, left it in his office, came over there, right.
That's just terrible.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's
brutal.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Rihanna.
Yeah.
And Chris Brown.
So she, she clearly has something going with Chris Brown and him with her. I personally don't think it ever stopped. I mean, they
really?
Say it stopped.
Wait a minute. Because what she said was he is/was, I don't know what word she used, the love of my life.
Right. And, you know, look, I'm just giving you my opinion on this thing, but there are too many things where they were, you know, tweeting where it was, you know, pretty clear it was about each other. You know, remember, right after the whole incident, you know, the first thing she did was she went to Diddy's house in Florida with Chris Brown,
yeah,
and they were
right.
Jet skiing, and it was almost like they weren't allowed to be together just because of the circumstances, but it's not that they didn't want to be together. And I know there was a restraining order, and I'm not suggesting necessarily that they violated the restraining order, but I don't know. I just got this feeling that in one form or another, this thing never quite stopped.
Now, she said, and I guess this is on an Oprah show tonight or something.
Right.
She said that they're not together.
I know.
Do you think she might be saying that just from a PR standpoint of it would be bad PR if she was?
I think it depends on how you define together.
Oh, do you think they're a couple?
I don't know what they are, but I don't think that their bond is just totally severed. They're not. They wouldn't talk. I mean, do you think they would talk this way if? I mean, if she sang Love of My Life, if they've done a song together, they did a duet together, right. So they've had contact together, they've been in the same clubs together. I mean, if all of that, and that is, all of that stuff is the case, then do you think there's no contact?
Yeah, it's sure hard to put your finger on it.
I know.
Except for it really does seem like that that kind of violence is a deal breaker for most people. Having said that,
but not for everyone.
Not for everybody. And there are a lot of people who are in love and can somehow look past that.
At least for a while.
Yeah.
Well, and she has said that she felt that he was villainized by.
He should have been villainized.
Well, no, I know.
Yeah.
But by her saying it, it really is almost making an excuse for him.
Yeah.
That he was a kind of unfairly painted.
Yeah, that's
so I don't know.
Freaky.
I mean, look, I don't know, but all of these things, when you add them all up, it just doesn't feel like they're done.
Well, I'll tell you, and my wife and I run a charity for abused women and children, and it's a habit sometimes of just staying with that person because you don't know what else to do. Maybe he is the love of her life,
or somehow that feels like love to you.
Yeah, maybe you grew up with that. Mm-hmm. It's all you. I don't know. It's just such a freaky story.
I know.
Let's talk about what a douchebag Ryan Lochte is instead.
No, come on, come on. I mean, it's hard to defend him when he goes to Vegas and wears that pink Speedo. I get it.
That's barely a Speedo even.
It's barely a Speedo.
That's like a child Speedo.
But here's how I'm going to defend Ryan Lochte. More than any other Olympic athlete, this guy is trying to make something of his life. I mean, he is out there. He's hustling. He's trademarking things. He's appearing on shows. I mean, he wants to be successful. And you can, just as he's a competitive athlete, and you got to give him that. The guy's a two-time gold medalist.
Of course, yeah.
That competitiveness, I think, kind of spills over, and he wants to be really successful. Now, he may not be the best actor in the world, and I think that's probably true, but, he is just out there hustling. And I don't know, I just think there's something admirable about it. I mean, I think the guy's just got that kind of fire and drive.
So if I could recap what you're saying.
He's a douche.
Is that a good recap?
Yeah, but I'm trying to defend that.
Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. Thank you very much for coming on the program
today.
We'll
see you guys.
Monday to Friday at 6 p.m., 12:30, 10:30, 4, and TMZ Live. You can check out at 3 p.m. Thank you.
Thanks, Harvey.
Bye now.
Here's a shot of knowledge. Each shot of Yakult contains live and active casein E.I. Shirota, one of the few probiotics that can survive in your intestines, stimulate good bacteria, and help you feel your best. And now available new Yakult Light. Look for it in your grocer's dairy aisle. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
You have no idea what you just read, do you?
I do.
Nope.
It's Yakult Light.
Idea.
It's a
no
yogurt.
Idea.
It's a probiotic.
You had no idea.
It doesn't die in your intestines, and it makes you feel better.
All right, let's make fun of me.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
And if you don't mind my saying, you're incredibly sexy in that movie.
Yeah, you're sexable.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I would sex you. You're sexable.
She's sexable. Don't you think?
If that was a word, then
a word.
I would think of it.
That's a lyric.
From that song?
Yeah.
You're so sexable?
By Chitty Bang, I think, did that one.
Chitty Bang?
What's going on?
All right. I'd like to hear more of Chitty Bang's music.
It's not a word.
I can't wait to get Chitty Bang's greatest hits.
Take it easy. Bastards.
You're on a roll today. There's a couple of them.
I know. Every 5 seconds, some listener's tweeting, hey, you guys missed another one. F you all.
We gave up long ago.
Thank you, Lisa. That's what I want.
Just let it go.
Want to talk about showbiz news?
Time for the showbiz news.
Let's talk about showbiz news.
Here's the showbiz news.
Top 10 movies at the box office as we start the showbiz beat. As we do every Monday morning, The Expendables 2 came in at number one this weekend with $28.7 million at the box office, knocking The Bourne Legacy off the top of the charts. That came in at number two, though, with a little over $17 million in box office. Paranorman was third with $14 million. Then The Campaign, the new Will Ferrell comedy with Zach Galifianakis, made $13.3 million, good enough to make it number four. Sparkle, the last role that Whitney Houston ever had was in this movie. Made $12 million, made it number 5. The Dark Knight Rises, it was 6. Then The Odd Life of Timothy Green, Hope Springs, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Dog Days, and Total Recall, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Everyone's talking about the death of director Tony Scott, one of two directing producing brothers, the Scott brothers. His brother Ridley Scott, also known in the entertainment business as one of the best around. Tony Scott passed away Sunday afternoon, jumping from the Vincent Thomas Bridge in San Pedro. He was just 68 years old. Did it a little after noon. Lots of witnesses. They saw Scott park his Prius on the bridge, scale an 8 to 10 foot fence, and then jump off the bridge without any hesitation, according to law enforcement sources. They found his body shortly thereafter in the water, and no word yet on why he committed suicide. However, there was a suicide note left in his office. Contents have not yet been revealed and may never be revealed, depending on the family's wishes. So we may never know what his motivation was, but still, 68 years old. Too soon.
Sad way to go.
It is a sad way to go. More death in the showbiz beat. Oh, too bad Bean's not here. He would love this. Joey Kovar is the man's name. He was on MTV's The Real World Hollywood and also VH1's Celebrity Rehab. He was found dead in his friend's home near Chicago on Friday. Joey had a history of drug addiction. Tried to beat his addiction to various substances, including alcohol, cocaine, ecstasy, meth, and steroids. Apparently, it didn't work.
He was addicted to all of those?
Yes.
Wow.
He was just 29 years old. One of the cops who investigated told TMZ.com that when the toxicology reports come back, they will reveal that Kovar died from a lethal combination of alcohol, cocaine, and Viagra. He was also taking Xanax and Adderall as well. So.
Unbelievable.
He was a walking pharmacy, this kid.
Does anybody have any drugs? 29. I'm looking to score some drugs.
29. And Beatles fans everywhere are...
dead?
Nope. I'm sure many of them are, but Beatles fans everywhere are very zoned in on this week because it's another parole hearing for Mark David Chapman, the man who shot and murdered John Lennon back in December of 1980. He has been denied 6 previous times when he's met with parole boards over the past 32 years, but they will meet with him again this week, and the decision will be announced on Friday.
They have to do this every so often?
It's the law.
Yeah. How often? Do you know her? Because Charles Manson comes up all the time, too, and they just keep going, no.
I'm sure it's a certain number of years that you have to be at least reviewed by a parole board. As always, Yoko Ono and John's two sons, Sean and Julian, have written letters to the parole board claiming that Chapman is still dangerous and a menace to society. They don't want to see him get out.
Of course not.
And as we mentioned earlier, probably for his own best interest, it's probably best to keep him locked away. I'm surprised someone hasn't got to him in prison yet.
Yeah.
Maybe there aren't a lot of Beatles fans in prison. Maybe, as Kevin mentioned, they're all dead.
It's just a theory. A working
That's
theory.
A bad theory. They're all sexable, too. Today's celebrity birthdays.
She was sexable.
Demi Lovato is 20 years old. Stop saying like you meant to say that.
I didn't mean to say that.
Demi Lovato is 20 years old today.
She was.
Monique Powell of St. Ferris is 37. Fred Durst of Limp Bizkit is 42 years old today. James Marsters, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, is 50. Joan Allen is 56. Weatherman Al Roker, Kevin's favorite TV weatherman, is 58 years old. And Robert Plant, singer for the band Led Zeppelin, is 64 years old today. I'm Ralph Darman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We welcome to the show, LaQuisha. Hi, LaQuisha.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm unhappy. How are you?
And by unhappy, you mean you're having the time of your life.
No, I mean, I don't know why the hell I keep watching this show.
Because you love it.
I do not love it. Keeping Up with the Kardashians is the name of the program.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize it's very easy to keep up with them because they don't do anything. There's nothing to catch up on, really.
You could skip 3 or 4 weeks, you'd still be fine?
Same thing. Yeah. Same, nothing going on. They're so out of things in their lives to talk about on this show. This week's episode was all about the afterlife.
Oh, good.
What they're going to be doing when they're dead. That's how boring their lives are. They're starting to plan their death.
How soon can that be?
As soon as possible. Would be good for me. Kris Jenner, the mother manager of all these people, she is making her funeral plans. And she decides that she's going to make them for everybody, including her husband, Bruce Jenner.
Do you want to be cremated or do you want to be buried?
You deal with it. I don't care.
Everyone's going to die. Why would you leave the whole situation up to somebody else?
Because I'll be dead. And I'll actually have a little peace and quiet. Okay. It'll be great.
I knew he always was looking for the sweet release of death to get away from those women.
He wants to die so much he doesn't care what happens to him afterwards.
He can't wait for the peace and quiet that will follow him to the grave.
Well, he made some bad decisions in his life.
Now, Chris gets everybody together, and they all meet up at the Hollywood Memorial Cemetery. You know that place, Hollywood Forever, there, that famous cemetery?
Sure.
And she brings them all into the office, and she announces that she is going to buy a mausoleum for the whole family so they can be together. And she announces this gift to her children.
So basically, ladies, I want to sort of gift you guys with where we're going to end up for the rest of our lives.
Now, she says the rest of their lives.
Yeah, that's...
I don't think she means that, but if she does mean that, I would like them to move into that mausoleum as soon as possible and spend the rest of their lives in there.
This reeks so much of we have a reality show and we can't figure out anything to do.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
That's absolutely what's going on, because... Yeah. Wouldn't it be great, though, if it was the rest of their lives, they could spend inside a sealed-up...
It would.
Stone crypt that we never have to hear anything from them again.
Starting today.
But I think she means the rest of time after they're gone, they will be spending time in there. But this is, well, frankly, this is not just good television. They're having a great time hanging out, the whole family, looking around at burial plots and looking at mausoleum and kinds of stone to choose from. It's really a good time.
It's actually interesting and fun. Doing what we're doing.
Yes, they're putting the fun back in funeral.
You know, it's not fun doing what they're doing.
No, it's great. They get to lay down inside of caskets and try them on for size.
Oh, my God.
Miss Jenna takes them to a custom coffin maker. And then she picks out the one she likes, but you're not just going to buy it off the showroom floor without taking it for a little test drive.
Before we leave this one, is there any way we can take it for a little spin or a
what
test drive?
What do you mean?
Could I lay in it?
She just said no.
You can't lay in it.
No,
see?
You can stay inside.
If you want
to go inside.
Yeah.
He was bringing you something.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Please lock it. Please lock it. Please lock it. Please lock it.
She lies down inside of a coffin. But before they let her do that, the woman running the place says, oh, let's lay something down inside there before you get into it. I'm like, there's going to be a dead person in there. What? How disgusting are the Kardashians that this woman don't even want anything Kardashian rubbing off on a dead person?
Mm-hmm. Let me put some protective coating down.
Probably got cooties or something like that. So all this talk about death is starting to really upset the children of Chris Jenner. They're really starting to think she's taking it too far.
Wait, I thought they were having fun.
Well, they were, but now enough's enough. No. Now it's starting to really make them feel uncomfortable. And Khloe is so uncomfortable, she starts to make up new words for being uncomfortable.
We've all kind of been talking, especially like Rob and I, and we really, really appreciate like everything that you're doing and, you know, that you want everything handled. But I think you have to pay attention to the uncomfortability that it might cause your children.
Yes, pay attention to the uncomfortability. Or discomfort, as some people might say, who speak English.
I'm not one of them.
The uncomfortability, well, she's very sexable, is what she is.
She is sexable. It's true.
Well, finally, Rob, the son of Kris Jenner, throws her a party so that she can see all her friends and family around her and understand that it's about living the moment in your life. It's not about thinking about the afterworld and where you're going to be buried. It's about being here now with those that you love. That's really important. That's the message we take away from the Kardashians.
I mean, are you happy to, like, actually enjoy your life and the moment and what we're living in and stop focusing on your funeral and, like, worrying your whole family about...
After being here in an afternoon like this, I'd say I'm living in the moment.
Yay!
That's fantastic. And they're doing it with some nice dance music behind them.
And they celebrate, Rob celebrates by getting his mother's portrait tattooed on his right forearm.
Oh, my God, will they stop?
Calling Dr. Freud. Dr. Freud, why is when he looks down at his right arm, is his mom's face on it?
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying Oedipus would have a field day.
And I'm saying we'll talk to you next week.
I'm saying bite me.
Ralph Garman is here with a final look at the showbiz. What's going on, Ralph?
Yeah! Woo!
you're excited about?
Your phone conversation with Arnold Schwarzenegger. I thought it was very entertaining. Man. It's unbelievable.
Don't get started.
Just say.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
And if you don't mind my saying, you're incredibly sexy in that movie.
Yeah.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Another 5 years, Kristen Bell won't talk to us.
You know what's funny about that? Not a movie. I was talking about a TV show.
Yep.
Sexable.
In that movie that you're on, that series, that is sexy. Don Cheadle, but... Today's celebrity birthdays. No,
what?
No. I've got a list.
Please try to formulate ideas clearly before you vocalize them.
I will try that.
I've got a list of the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend because it is Monday morning. We always take a look. The Expendables 2 made almost $30 million, making it number one this weekend. The Bourne Legacy was knocked out of the top slot by Expendables 2, dropped to $17 million, good enough to make it number two. Paranorman was third, getting a lot of good reviews. A lot of people I know saw that film and liked it this weekend. The Campaign was fourth. Sparkle, the new film featuring the last performance of Whitney Houston, was number five at the box office with a little over $12 million this weekend. Dark Knight Rises was sixth. The Odd Life of Timothy Green, Hope Springs, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Dog Days, and Total Recall, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Everyone talking about the death of Tony Scott. A very successful director and producer. He has passed away. Well, it's hard to say passed away, isn't it? At the age of 68. He took his own life yesterday. A little after noon, he was on top of the Vincent Thomas Bridge in San Pedro and jumped to his death. His body was pulled out of the water by the Los Angeles Port Police, who were the first to arrive on the scene. Witnesses say they saw him park his Prius on the bridge, scale a 8 to 10 foot fence, and then jump off the bridge without any hesitation. Law enforcement officials say there was a suicide note found in his office later that day. Its contents have not been revealed. We don't know what his motivation was behind his suicide, and we may never, depending on, I'm sure, the wishes of the family to release the information that note held for whoever found it. He was best known, I guess, for Top Gun.
He directed that?
He directed that film. That was his biggest hit. He did a vampire movie that I really liked a lot called The Hunger many years ago. That was his first foray into feature films after being a successful commercial director. He did a lot of movies with Denzel Washington, including Enemy of the State, Man on Fire. He did Beverly Hills Cop 2 with Eddie Murphy. Unstoppable is another movie he did with Denzel. He was also into TV production, the series The Good Wife and Numbers on NBC. Both produced by him and his brother Ridley Scott. So quite a successful career, but that doesn't necessarily mean a successful life. And it seems like something was obviously bothering him for him to take his own life yesterday. But maybe more information will be forthcoming. Madonna is being sued by Russian anti-gay activists, to be exact. She performed in St. Petersburg on the 6th of August. And there's a law there that says it's illegal to promote homosexuality to minors. They claim that she was doing just that in her show, and now they're suing the singer for $10 million, which in Russia is like $400 billion. Those people win $10 million, they will become the kings of Russia. Big Bang Theory star Mayim Bialik was back to work on Friday after her car accident. She tweeted that she was in pain but will keep all of her fingers. There was a rumor going around that she had lost a finger in that accident. She didn't really tweet it. Her husband apparently tweeted the message because she can't tweet because she lost all her fingers. Or something like
that. Seems to go contrary to the beginning of the story.
Spider-Man got a ticket. He was cruising through the streets of Malibu this weekend when the cops caught up to him. He was in a sports car with the beautiful Emma Stone by his side. Can you blame the guy for speeding?
No.
No, he absolutely should be able to do whatever he wants. And Jessica Biel and Justin Timberlake... Rumors are they slipped off this weekend and tied the knot.
How about that?
Yeah. Examiner.com website reports that wedding guests headed into Jackson Hole, Wyoming over the weekend. That was one of the proposed sites that they were going to get married, and it looks like friends and family of the happy couple did make their way there this weekend for an upscale private event. No confirmation whether it's official or not, but it seems like all of the evidence points to the fact that Jessica and Justin finally got married this weekend. So if that's the case, we wish them the best. If it isn't, then we wish they would break up and Jessica would fall in love with one of us.
Right.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Demi Lovato is 20 years old today. Singer Monique Powell of Save Ferris turns 37. James Marsters from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, he is 50 years old today. Guy does not look 50.
No.
Joan Allen is 56. Weather Show. Nope. Today Show. Weatherman Al Roker, 58 years old today.
The Weather Show. I was about to die.
The cold meds are kicking in.
Yeah.
Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin is 64 years old today. And Fred Durst of Limp Bizkit fame. Come on. If you don't play it, Beer Mug's going to have an aneurysm. The only one detail Beer Mug's paid any attention to this entire show was making sure we had a Limp Bizkit song up for that showbiz.
And did you ask for it?
Nope.
How about that?
But if I see him flailing around and pointing anymore, I was just going to lose my mind.
He elbows me every 30 seconds.
We just
had to get it out of the way. It's right there. Play it right there. It's right there.
He was going
to
blow an O-ring. Yeah. It's got a tattoo on it.
Speaking of O-rings and tattoos on it.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tomorrow we're going to do some more research into that. Is it the new thing? Do you need
it's the latest and greatest.
Do you need to keep up with getting your...
First, you have to get it bleached. Then you have to get a shave. Then you have to get a tattooed.
I think we're halfway there to getting Psycho Mike doing it, too.
Well, he's already been bleached.
Right.
And I know he waxes.
So he's got a nice canvas.
He has a nice canvas. You just need to find an artist to put a piece of, put a masterpiece there. A circular masterpiece is what we need.
Plus, you use sex as a weapon. We will talk to you about that tomorrow. And from No Doubt, we're going to talk to Tony Cannell about the new album.
I love Tony.
How about that? That's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.